Well, hello, everybody. Just before we get started, we wanted to...
Hi.
Oh, hey, Sean.
Hey.
Oh, you're here. Sean's here. Oh, my God. But no, we just wanted to shout out a tournament. Going to hopefully get a bunch of people at this one. It's for a member of the Cleveland Cornhole family. A friend of ours, Mr. John Barnett, recently found out that he had cancer. You know, just one of those fundraisers to help the family and raise some stuff for a good person that is fun in the community. You know, he's brought a lot of other people, like his son's an up-and-coming guy locally around here throwing as well. So, yeah, just like to rally around the good guys. So, anyways, they're putting on a tournament here in Cleveland for the man and his family. It looks like it is going to be on... here it is, June 8th at BAM Arena, which is right, like, literally right on Royalton Road in Strongsville, just off the highway.
Is that their ice rink? Is that what that's considered? Or
Yeah, I believe so.
Or right back there?
Okay. Yeah, gotcha. But I think they have, like, other facilities on there. But anyways, yeah, so at BAM Arena, June 8th, $60 a team. It's going to be 50% payout.
Again, this is what the cornhole community is supposed to be about, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, like rally around these tournaments, like not worrying about payouts and all that stuff, but going there and donating $60 to spend time with those that, like, we spend time with a lot, you know, like that we're in league and our friends.
I would love the winners to just donate back to the family.
Yeah. When I'm faced with a question like this to attend like a tournament, if I'm able to, I always look at it as like, if somebody were throwing a tournament for me, I'd want as many people there as possible, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're in the area, put it on your calendar. Make sure you're there June 8th.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's going to be two divisions, kicking off at 1 p.m. at BAM Arena in Strongsville, Ohio. Again, for a great cause. So, yeah, if you're looking for a great tournament that time, hit it up.
Hell yeah.
And now it's time for a little dragon bag action, Sean.
Oh, it sure is.
Yeah, I've been fondling those dragons real hard. And I'll tell you what, they're making me a better thrower. So if you don't have a set of dragon bags, why don't you head on over to dragonbags.com and just become a better thrower. We talk about science on this show all the time, and it's just science.
I'm currently breaking in a new set of power dragons.
Ooh.
I love my old set so much that I actually, I gave them to Mr. Eric Anderson, former ACL pro.
Yeah.
He wanted a set, and I'm like, I got you.
Here you go.
I gave him my custom brown set just because... He's my dude.
You could have consulted your brother before you let go of those bad boys, but that's okay. Because Dragon Bags is a great bag company, so no matter which set you have, they're all phenomenal. So head over to dragonbags.com, drop code BIGASP12 at checkout. Save yourself some money.
Are you in the market for a new set of boards? Well, if you're a cornhole fan and you have not invested in a good set of boards, really that's the one key piece that you're missing, right? We can buy all the fancy bags we want, but if you're throwing them on shitty boards, your bags are going to get damaged, and really it's just not going to get you a true sense of going into that tournament style aspect, or how even most leagues now have very solid boards. Well, we prefer gnarly boards, all right? Gnarly boards, they have consistent play, awesome designs, and just high quality craftsmanship. It's really, they have all aspects of what you're looking for at a good set of cornhole boards. So if you go to gnarlybags.com, use code BIGASP, just go ahead and add a new set of custom boards right into your cart, and there you go.
Done.
Use code BIGASP.
It's like you black out. You save
10%, and oh my God, and everyone's happy, and the world goes round, and you're going to have a beautiful set of boards, all right? So go to gnarlybags.com, grab your new set of boards today, and use code BIGASP to save yourself 10%.
Sweet.
And on that new set of boards, you're probably going to be like, well, hey, I might as well treat myself. I've been good recently. Let's treat myself and get a new set of bags, too.
Why not?
If you don't have a set of Black Sheep baggers in your arsenal, you're doing yourself a disservice, all right? If you're somebody that likes specifically a smaller template, all right, a little fuller of a bag, something easily manipulated that has tons of action on the board, Black Sheep baggers is the answer. So you go to blacksheepbaggers.com, use code BIGASP, and you're going to even save yourself more money. All right. It's just raining discounts here, folks. So go to blacksheepbaggers.com, use code BIGASP, and save some money. Pew, pew. Pew, pew.
Cornhole it. Big ass cornhole. We hope you throw it straight. And nothing but four baggers from here on out.
All right, welcome back to yet another episode of the Big Ass Cornhole Podcast. Sean and Dane are with you as always. What's going on, man?
Not too much. Just, got all the pleasantries out of the way early.
We did.
So now we're just on our way to, I think, just an episode packed with some ACL National action.
Yeah, it's ACL National Week. These episodes are always packed, right? We have tons. This is probably... Every ACL National is busy, right? But the first one always kind of sneaks up on us a little bit.
Very sneaky, yep.
And just you forget how much all goes into it. So this episode is going to be jam-packed with a bunch of stuff, okay? Before we get into anything, though, Dane, we have some important business to get to.
Let
the folks know what we're sipping on tonight in our favorite segment called What You Drinking.
Ho-ho! What you drinking?
Well, I made a lovely stop at a local brewery called Immigrant Sons. Lakewood, Ohio, and fantastic beer, Sean.
Yeah,
we're sipping on there just house IPA. At the very top, it says your Midwest IPA. I would like to think that they are spot on.
Yeah, man, it's
they
really
didn't
good.
Have their hazy in a can.
Okay,
I had it at the restaurant.
Really good,
really good.
I can only imagine.
Really good. So they make great beers.
This is
great
phenomenal.
Food. This is a phenomenal beer. This one's 7%. A delicious, just well-balanced IPA. It's got a good hop to it, a little bit of that citrus to it.
And this is called just IPA.
This is just IPA.
Okay, I love
literally it. Just called IPA.
I like that.
You know what I mean? Like, and they just, Amy had their Kolsch. I know you're a Kolsch fan.
Every once in a while, yeah.
They had a really good Kolsch there, and yeah, just good beers.
Hell yeah. It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we have tons of audio gold planned for you this week. All right? We have dramatic readings out the ass. And at some point, you're going to have a cornhole fantasy draft that we do. If you're a fan of the show, you've listened to before, every year before each national, we do a fantasy draft. We bring in a guest or two, and we do a draft, right? We each draft 6 singles, 4 doubles teams, and we just kind of pit against them. I'm undefeated. Don't want to brag, but, you know, it is what it is. So this week, we're going to be joined
by
Anthony Kissel and Mr. Corn Dog from the Down and Back. All right? So we draft against them. We have... a separate podcast we had started a while back called Shuck It or Chuck It. Well, National number one snuck up on us a little bit, and then DraftKings took their sweet ass fucking time releasing the numbers. So you're going to be fortunate. You're going to get all this info,
right?
All
here.
The great money making info, right?
Jam
here.
It on in.
We're going to jam it all in here. So we're going to have another segment of the show this week called Shuck It or Chuck It, all about the gambling aspect of cornhole and how to win money, because we've been pretty damn successful at it the last 2 years between Cameron and myself. And then we were going to have an interview. All right. Don't know.
We'll see.
So we'll see. If not, April Fools, motherfuckers.
Aha.
How about that? All right. Before we go into anything else, we're going to let you know what's going on in our cornhole lives in a segment we call In and Around the Hole.
Are you too good for your home? Answer me.
All right. So what's new with you?
Not too much.
How was your Easter?
Easter was low key. I didn't mind it at all. Went to the casino on Saturday night with mom and dad. With my wife as well. She was the lucky one.
Nice.
Turned like $40 into like $240.
That's a solid night.
Yes, it was. And then Sunday was just seeing Amy's family and kicking it. Nothing too crazy. The weather's been shit, so haven't really been able to throw that much, and work's been crazy, so haven't been able to go out and do anything. So
I did actually get to throw. Last Wednesday, I had a slower morning, so I busted out the boards and got in. I don't know if I should admit this publicly because I was on the clock, but a good like 45 minutes to an hour of throwing.
Ooh,
straight.
Wee.
You're
ready for the national.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like
ready
I'm
to go.
I feel like I'm. I panicked a little bit, and I was like, I need to change my grip.
No,
and
I threw it's last just week. Stop throwing for a minute, and then you're good.
And that's really what it was. Like, I'm just very much. There's just some days I'm off, and if I'm off, just don't practice that day. Just fucking give it up. You're not going to work through it. You're not going to grind through it. Just if you're playing like shit, just step away. Because I'm such a head case that I let that linger.
Yeah.
But when I'm throwing well, practice. Like, get your reps in. And I was throwing well. You know what I mean? Just not perfect, but comfortable again. Where if I'm like, oh, if I go to a tournament today, I feel like I could at least hang, and that's all I really want to be. At this point, I am also itching to golf. Like,
yes.
I have a brand new club still wrapped in plastic. I haven't even done. I'm just like dying to hit golf balls. more information is going to drop next week, specifically about the first annual Big Asp Open that is going to happen on September 21st. If you pay attention to our social media, I've been dropping little Easter eggs along in our stories, just kind of gently promoting it. There have been several people reach out asking, hey, what's up with this event? It's going to be the first ever Topgolf and Cornhole team event. It's going to be September 21st. It's going to be a fucking banger of a time. So make sure you mark your calendar September 21st. And be part of the first annual Big Ass Cornhole Open presented by Topgolf.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. What else is new? I'm trying to think.
On my front, just nothing.
So I am interested to see a guy like Mark Isley after all the drama last week.
Yeah.
How much is he going to post and share on social media this weekend from 27 feet? Because it's been all quiet there on that Western front.
Couldn't tell you. I'm guessing we're going to have more crickets, but
speaking of that, I'm actually in a cornhole league, ironically, in 27 feet.
That you are.
So I was wondering, before we go on, I have to submit my lineup.
Yeah.
Can we set my lineup real quick?
Let's do it.
I just want to talk through some of them. I think there's going to be several names that are going to be obviously no-brainers, but, it's more fun.
I'll pull up a research tool here.
Okay. So in this league, you have to start 8 singles and then 4 doubles teams. So I figure let's start with singles. In this league, my picks were as follows in this order: Caleb Batson, Jeremiah Ellis, Sammy Soto, Derek Holland. So those are my first 4 picks. Automatic.
They're going to start.
Slam dunks. Yeah,
they're starters.
Every week. I don't care what they are. They're starting. The next pick was Braden Wilson, then Gage Landis, Moses Ezueta. I feel comfortable, really comfortable for the first two.
Yeah.
Braden Wilson, a little bit of question mark. All right. Just because it's his first national.
Exactly.
And you'll hear a little bit more about this in the draft. All right.
Yeah.
About who we drafted, and we talk about age and stuff. First nationals, it's a weird place sometimes for the young guns. But let's find out where he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to have rounders to kind of settle the nerves and kind of get in that feel first, which I think is a huge benefit. If they just did a random draw for this to see, just do random seeding for this tournament,
it could be, and you step
right in for your first game ever as a pro, it's a little different. So I'm interested to see that, but I am comfortable starting him there. Gage Landis, absolutely. After the season he had, every year he just keeps getting a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I thought he should have been considered more so last year for breakout player.
Oh, I agree.
The one that I start to kind of question is actually Moses Ezueta. I think he's immensely talented. I just don't know where he's going to kind of fall in there. I think last year he finished 47th. Is that right?
I think here, let me look.
Yeah 47th. All right. So this is the problem in this part of the draft. I was able to gobble up a bunch of guys in the 40s. Cause I have Moses Ezueta. I have Gage Landis. So again, he was 44th. Yeah. I believe. And then I had Austin Schlobaum, and I think he's I want to say maybe 39.
I think he was 38.
38 or something like that. Justin Carpenter, again, I think he was 44th or something like that. Trevor Kufis, I think he actually
41
for Carpenter. Where was Kufis? Because did he finish in the top 30? It's K-U-H.
Oh, hang on, we're frozen. There we go.
32nd.
32nd.
So, yeah, I mean, and that's one of those things. And obviously, everyone, you could throw away one national.
Yeah.
So.
But you also have Brett Guy in there. Who
I do. I haven't mentioned him.
Pretty well, too.
Correct. So, I'm thinking, for my lineup, my initial, and I want to see if you agree, I go Caleb Batson, Jeremiah L., Sammy Soto, Derek Holland, obviously. Braden Wilson, I'm going to go with. I think I'm going to go with Gage Landis as well. And then I need two more. I think I go Brett Guy. And I know he's not a fast starter, but out of the guys that deep, if anyone was going to actually win it, I could see Brett Guy pulling it off. You know what I mean? Just pulling
from
a little
anyone
magic
of that
kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then am I crazy for wanting to play Trevor Kufis at this first one? Is that getting too cute? Trying to play too much of the numbers from last year? Because I feel like, to me, the next safest pick would probably be either Moses or Austin.
I feel like Trevor just did well. Was that in Michigan?
No, he finished 32nd overall.
I know, but I'm saying recently. I don't know, man. That's tough because, again, I've we saw like flashes of brilliance from Gage last year. We saw, I mean, that's why.
Now, before the brackets start play, I can adjust it, but I have to have an initial lineup by Thursday.
Yeah.
And then the brackets, I believe, are getting dropped Thursday night after rounders.
So you can always adjust.
I think I can switch it out if I don't.
So maybe you just start off playing the numbers game.
I think I go with Brett Guy and Kufis. If we're going by last year's numbers and where they finished in singles, I like that. I'm just trying. None of those.
That's keeping Landis in.
Yes.
Okay. So he's your sixth, and then those two are your 7-8. Okay.
Yeah. Now in doubles, it's a little different. I had the last pick of doubles. I don't want to say there was collusion to try to keep your boy from winning, but it was pretty gnarly here. All right. So my doubles teams are Halbert and Trzinski, Rawls and Holland, Dennis and Ferreira, Klemmer, Holland, Wolf, Schlobaum, Anderson and Jonas, which obviously I need to pick up somebody. So I really only have five options. I think I go with the first four: Rawls, Holland, Halbert, Trzinski, Dennis Ferreira, and Klemmer, Holland.
Yeah.
I think I just got to go with that. I think I like having Wolf and Schlobaum there. I think that they're a sleeper team.
Mm-hmm.
They're a team that no one's going to know about, but if they won a bunch of games as first national, it wouldn't shock me necessarily. But I think the doubles makes it a little bit easier only having.
Trying to think of who might be, like, could that be somebody that you could pick up? I don't know if you have, like, a list of who's left over.
No, I'd have to go really, like, dive into it. And I will.
Timmy and Eric were last year.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe they're still there. That could be.
We'll see. I'll have to look at doubles, but I'll probably go with just those first four.
Or that.
To kind of start. I think somebody already picked
them. Did they pick
them? Yeah, they got drafted. Our boys, Nick Williams and Andrew Labrador, they were picked for sure.
Yeah.
People did their homework. And the problem is doing this publicly.
Yeah.
Is that people kind of know who I like and who if you've listened to the show before, like you can kind of follow along the drafts. I tried my best later on in the episode when we did the draft to change it up a little bit and take chances. It worked out well because I was either first or last pick. So being at the end helped it.
It worked.
And it would help that me and you were not picking right up against each other.
Yes.
Because the corn dog was between us.
Yeah. And we had a corn dog. Definitely had a lot of similar thinkings too. So like your back to backs were killing me.
Yes.
Cause like, I was always like, there's a chance,
but there ain't.
No, there's not,
but there ain't. So, okay. We'll get to the full fantasy draft here a little bit later in the episode, but what we want to start with this week, just because it's a fun segment, we love doing it. We're going to start off this week with a little dramatic readings.
In a world where bean bags have brought men to their knees, social media serves as sanctuary for keyboard warriors. Time for the dramatic readings.
These dramatic readings are brought to you by Big D Bags. We love to talk about how big and floppy and great those big old D's feel in your hand if you're a big ass fan. Mm. So why don't you head over to Big D Bags and fulfill that feeling that you're missing in your life. I always like to say it. Don't be a big D bag. Throw them.
Do you think John makes his wife call, refer to him as Mr. D Bag?
Mr. Big D-Bag.
Mr. Big D-Bag.
Yeah, you got to have the big in there. Yeah. I feel like maybe it's like Mr. Big and then D-Bag.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah. John, can you message us? Yeah, just text
says
me
it
later,
like under her breath, like,
yeah,
just so maybe he doesn't hear every time, right?
Maybe that's how you got the whole origin of this. We could come up with a whole story.
Exactly.
About
maybe we continue the saga.
Yes.
Every episode, just for a little extra tidbit.
I like to hear the story. So we're gonna start next week how they got the name.
Yes.
Sorry, the origin story.
The right, origins
we'll
start of
we're gonna build
D.
this,
or we'll just have a different origin story every day.
Stay
time.
Tuned for next week. All right. You want to cue the piano?
Cued.
Ooh, you had it tuned.
I know. Nice.
So could someone please tell me what the L and H does to the feel of the bag? I like a fuller bag. Which one I go with if I was going to go this route? Thanks. Well, John Comer in Everything Cornhole, I don't fucking know. It could mean a completely different bag because a wizard L is not just a light wizard, as we've firmly established many times. It's super confusing, and I don't know how many bag manufacturers are actually coming out with an H version of a bag. We've seen a whole lot of the light version.
Yeah, haven't seen an H version.
Now, back in the day, if you were in the know, like you could get bags, like when you were getting like a custom set of bags with like your name on it.
Yep.
Like, you know what I mean, in the top right corner, you could request like a fuller bag.
Oh, I still got them in the.
That's what I'm saying. So yeah. You could request like, hey, can you like overfill mine a little bit or underfill a little bit, and bag manufacturer, hell yeah, like yeah, gotcha,
of course.
That's a little custom perk. But now with everything being so regulated, yeah, unless you're a pro player, you're not really getting that kind of love. Is it happening in the pro game still now today? 100%.
Yes.
100%. If there's a bag out there that a pro likes, really likes, but they don't love the fill, if you don't think the bag manufacturers might be tempted to be like, all right, for you,
yeah, we'll change it up just a little bit. You're fine. Yeah. No, I fully agree.
So pretty interesting.
Pretty interesting stuff. But again, we can't. Like, we don't have any information on
but what in all seriousness though, the H should stand for heavier, or it should be like on the fuller side.
Tighter, fuller
if you're
bag.
Looking for a fuller bag than the H one, I just can't tell you who's offering that right now. Like I said, there are a bunch of offers for like light versions.
Yeah.
Maybe if they already offer the L version, they're offering the heavy version.
I mean, I feel like some people have them on their websites where you can just click H, but it's literally just heavier. Like
yeah.
They add a little extra more fill to it, and yeah. That's it.
Like,
you said, it'll feel fuller in your yeah. hand. Sometimes there makes it a little more reactionary. So that's the best to my knowledge. You want me to go with mine real quick?
Let's do it.
Addicted to cornhole. Why post on here slamming somebody for supposedly slamming you? People comment back, not agreeing with you, then you delete the post? Come on, man.
Come on, man. Okay, so somebody was posting about someone else slamming.
Yeah, because everybody knows them. Somebody that knows somebody that knows something about it.
All right. I don't know why I still do this.
I think I just explained.
This is just one. Okay. So if you're like, what the fuck was that? Why are they? So apparently, I don't have the post itself where we probably would have read that. Apparently, the owner of Toss Sauce went on like a tirade in his words, like kind of defending himself.
Yeah.
Of, I don't know if somebody directly called him out, but if social media, if you're going to stay consistent about anything, is that the owner of Toss Sauce, Steven,
yeah.
If he is, he's definitely a loud defender of his product.
Yes.
And if you come for it, you're going to hear from him. I don't think it's a great look. Like, I feel like it shows that, like, hey, go make Toss Sauce. Stop reading the comments.
Yeah.
Like, get back to work. Steven, get back to work. You know what I mean? Right? Go design a new label or something. Like, don't be reading the fucking comments, man.
Like post and ghost, it's the yeah. way. It's
if you
the way
believe
the world,
in your, if you believe in your product, then you don't have to go defend
itself.
On it
yeah.
because then it almost looks desperate, right? A little bit,
yeah.
It does. Mm-hmm. If we're being completely honest, true serum here, a little true toss sauce in your mouth here to get you telling the truth. I mean, it looks desperate, so just ignore the comments, man. Just yeah. ignore them.
There's no reason.
Trust me. I mean, if I like. It always depends. Like when we get the dear sir or madam. Posts
oh,
we've all got them right. It depends on what mood I'm at. If they catch me and I'm a little bit pissed off, man, they are in
dunzo
for now. And there are some times where I'm just like, I just have too much time on my hands, and I'm like, let's fuck with them a little bit.
And
those are fun.
Don't worry, we have plenty of pictures. We will be releasing probably
that's gonna be the best
dramatic sagas of tormenting these poor people.
But when it comes down to it, it's just, I guess, be nicer. And just, if you believe in your product, it's fine, but like, just don't worry about like commenting about all the stuff. Let people that like your product defend it for you, right?
Yeah.
That speaks volumes. If enough do it. And if you're selling stuff, who gives a fucking shit what people say? It's gonna be out there. You're good. All right. We ready for the next one?
I'm always ready, Sean. You know that.
Man, I hate seeing these players get signed for tens of thousands of dollars, be 100% faithful to that company, then just getting shafted out of nowhere in the end. That shit is just not a good look. So I happened to catch this in the very beginning. This is a post made by Noah Wooten.
Yeah.
So this is before any comments or anything, but I snapped a picture of it because I'm like, listen, this is for sure going to blow the fuck up.
Like, yeah.
And I'm like, I was interested. I'm like, is there somebody else? Because we've heard it all throughout this year. There have been many pros, and this is probably the year that I've noticed it the most of bigger-ish names walking away because ultimately, financially, it just wasn't the wisest decision.
Yeah.
We mentioned Eric Anderson last week. Mm-hmm. We have guys like Jimmy McGuffin that's walking away. We have a new one that we just found out yesterday. DK is not playing this year. He was signed with 710. You want to find out more about those details? Well, lucky for you, we're going to have a Patreon bonus episode next week. It's going to have DK and just kind of telling us why he decided to step away for the first time. I think it's like 14 years he's been a pro.
Which is insane.
So this is like the first year that he won't be playing professional cornhole. So if you're interested in hearing about why he's stepping away and all this stuff, we'll have a Patreon bonus episode dropping next week. But it's a tale as old as time, right?
Take it away, Mrs. Potts.
It's one of those... I don't know what we need to do for the pro division, but right now, if we keep going this direction, it's going to turn into who can afford to play, not who are the best players.
Which, I mean, has it come full circle? Because that's exactly what it was when it first started, John.
Weird.
Weird.
I don't think we're there yet, okay? I still think that the amount of talent in the league, obviously, is immense.
Yeah.
Is it as strong today as it could have been if all the pros were getting taken care of? 100, no. It's just not.
No, there's but
you've lost talent. Like that, yeah. You can't tell me like losing Jimmy McGuffin is good for the game, right? A guy like that.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that losing one of the OG original ACL pros, another one, and Eric Anderson. I mean that is a good thing. You know what I mean? Like I hope that sometimes if some of these guys of this caliber stepping away opens the eyes up to the ACL, be like, hey, what's going on? Like if these guys can't find sponsorship money and can't afford to do it, then like what are we doing here? And I know that they try to make a concerted effort based off of ACL Pro comments last year, and that's why they're trying to condense the schedule, all right? They're making less trips, really condensing them in, but when they're on these trips, they're long fucking trips.
Yeah, I mean, you got to take Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I mean, hope to God you can get a late night Sunday flight home if you want to make work on Monday. And then
so it's obviously we've talked about this a bunch, but my question is to the pro players are – If you're finding yourselves in this situation, did you A, sign a contract?
Yes.
If you signed a contract, did you fully understand it? And is there a clause where the company has an out? Because if they do and you signed it, then it sucks, but it is what it is.
Or are we talking like handshake agreements?
Exactly. And that's where I feel like a lot of these are. I feel like a lot of these are handshake agreements. Yeah. Now, let's also take it not just from the bag manufacturer. I'm not saying that anyone's at fault here. Let's take it from the bag manufacturer spot. Let's say I promise somebody this X amount of money, right? And they're complaining that money's not coming in, but they haven't done shit to promote it. Anything. They've played in, maybe they play in like in an open or something. Maybe they play in a bunch of like regionals, but like they're not posting anything on social media. And I'm assuming that would be part of the agreement of like why you're doing it. Like it's more than just showing up at nationals and throwing my bags. Mm-hmm. Like there are very few pros that can probably do that in the league right now that could do zero promotion at all and still show up. A guy like Mark Richards, who's the number one player in the country, arguably, right, still does promotion. You see this guy sponsored by everybody, and he's not great at the promotion, but it's something. It's he's putting in some effort, which is more than 99% of the pro field is. So my question is to the pro field is, are you guys going to start policing yourselves and holding the pro pool accountable as a whole? Because it's not going to get by. Like, bag manufacturers looking, it's not... Most of you guys are not worth the money that you're asking for in terms of returning sales.
Yeah. I mean, it's
there's maybe four or five people that really are polarizing enough to make a difference in bag sales.
100%.
And it's none of those people that were let go. I mean, if we're being honest, it wasn't any of those people being let go.
But then those guys are usually going to companies that maybe don't need the pump up.
And again, I'm not trying to pick on anyone specific. It's just in general as a pro population. If you want the money, you have to put in the effort. You have to. And it starts as simple as posting a video of you warming up or something. Mm-hmm. Or it has to be more than just going to events and wearing the stuff. Because some of you, by nature, aren't super personable. So you're not the guy going around making friends all over the place, which is okay.
Exactly. You don't have to be a salesperson to make sales. Correct. You can do it over social media where nobody even has to see you. Exactly. Just be a good person. Post up their stuff with your code. Don't just do the obligatory, like, at the end, just list them off all the time.
Who's doing a very good job, who does not strike me as a, like, guy that would use social media, but I think he does well enough because I know who he's sponsored by, is Steve Schroeder.
Yeah.
He's Sub-Zero Bags.
Yeah.
And he's posting about them almost every day. Or commenting that, like, hey, you should go check out Sub-Zero. Even just, like, somebody posts a innocuous, like, hey, which hybrid bag should I try? Oh, you should try out, you should try Sub-Zero. Like, I throw them. So, like, that's somebody right there. He's not, like, super creative with the way he's doing it, but he's putting an effort.
Sometimes there's a power in numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Just keep putting it out.
Exactly.
110%. Yes. Yep. So, I do feel bad when it happens. I don't think any bag manufacturer in the league right now ever goes out with malintent, but I mean, listen, one of the bigger stories was when this really first happened, and we're talking big money, way back when, with Jimmy Humans and Tyler Cobb and that whole saga.
And that was ugly, and it got ugly real fast. I mean,
is it sad that I can't, I'm blanking,
zero gravity?
Yeah. Rest in peace, the Neptune.
It was a chunky monkey.
Garbage.
It's the first, like, that was one of the easiest bags to roll because it would just roll.
Yeah, correct.
No matter what.
Yeah, correct. It would bounce in the hole. It's a shitty situation. It's something that, as a pro sport, still needs to get figured out. And I just don't know if that's the priority of the ACL right now. I don't think it is. And I think that pro players just need to take a deep look and get more creative with trying to come up with money to fund these trips.
Yeah, I mean, so many moving parts. Again, the game grew so fast, and now we're like at this kind of standstill moment. And we're going to see a lot of nut up or shut up quickly.
Correct.
Come to fruition here. So we'll see.
100%.
I mean, I got deep real quick.
You did get deep real quick.
Man, that's not like us.
It's not.
I don't know. What's something funny that we could play real quick?
Just click one of them. All of them are pretty funny.
We'll go. Oops, it's off. Hang on. Let's try it again.
You're one pathetic loser.
Hang on. I want to try it again.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Should we get whoever takes second place in the first national?
Yeah, we'll just start it off with yourself. That. Yeah. I don't know. What's this guy?
Not a sore loser. It's just that I prefer to win, and when I don't, I get furious.
That's such a good one.
That's another good one.
Oh, my God. I would love for somebody to go on an interview. Again, okay, ACL National time. We're just talking about sponsors.
Yes.
If you make it on a broadcast, which is obviously not going to be this weekend, but if you make it on a broadcast and you get an interview, this is your opportunity.
Yes.
Shout out your fucking sponsors.
Shout them out, please.
This is why we can't read the back of your jerseys. No one gives a shit what logos you put on it. Shout out your sponsors. Thank them.
Even better, print off all of their logos.
Misha's going to stick that mic right in your face, and she's going to ask you a question and be like, I'll get right to that. But first, I want to thank 8 pounds, 6 ounce baby Jesus, and list off your sponsors.
Yeah, I don't care if you don't know what to do with your hands. Just say it into the mic.
Correct.
That's all you got to do.
Yeah, that's all it is.
That's easy peasy, baby.
Easy peasy. I don't think we have anything else. We're moving on to draft. What's coming first?
Draft or Shuck It or Chuck It? What do you want to do?
Shuck It or Chuck It.
And then we'll go on the draft. We'll talk about the betting lines real quick, and then we'll zip on over to the draft. So,
So stay tuned for we'll be back in just a second, and then Cameron will join us. We'll have Shuck It or Chuck It, and then right after that, we'll move into the cornhole draft.
Sweet.
Hell yeah. ACL National number one.
And we are back here with a familiar face for Shuck It or Chuck It. Gentlemen, please introduce yourselves and tell people what we're about to dip our feet into.
Well, I'm Sean. I've been here for a while.
Who?
Yes. Cameron.
Never met her. All right.
Cameron, I make an appearance like 5 times a year. Once we get the old DraftKings lines that are ever moving in this, 4 hour time period we've had these posted.
Which is a cool thing, right? We were just kind of talking before we started recording. It's nice to see the lines moving. It means that there's at least somewhat a decent amount of activity going on, right?
Yeah, and honestly, I can not take credit for it because
not this time. My account
is fried, and for me to get down, I got to drive across into Iowa, and that was going to be tomorrow after work's mission if I get the chance. So I cannot take credit for these moves like last time.
So if you're listening to this on Wednesday, these lines are current as of 10 p.m. Eastern time on Tuesday. That we're going to be talking about. already opening lines, the biggest one we've noticed, it's we kind of post on Facebook about it too, was Jeremiah Ellis opened at 12-1. So immediately kind of you look at that and you're like, I kind of like that. Well, a whole bunch of people did. And he's all the way down, I believe, to 7-1. Is that still accurate, Cameron?
100 correct. $100 bill will return you 700.
Wow. So for me, that completely changes the game. Like, fortunately, I did get some action on Ellis, and I got him at 10-1. So I didn't get him like right in the beginning. I got him at 10-1. I don't know if I love it as much as 7-1. What do you think, Cameron?
No, I don't. Honestly, I think him winning was the worst thing. I love watching him as a player. He's fantastic to watch, but from a betting standpoint, you're buying him at a pretty pricey.
Correct.
Number right now, because he's the hot guy, and I kind of was hoping he would just maybe play competitive like he's been doing, or just be a little short, and we can get him down in the 20-1 range, and that would have been a definitely hammer spot. But now he's got the respect already.
So before we had seen the most updated lines, I was kind of going through some players that I thought there was going to be, I would consider putting money down on. You were kind of making a note about how they're redistributing some of the lines. Can you kind of go over that for a little bit?
Yeah, so like you said, Jeremiah Ellis opened up 12-1, and he's now plus 700. So that's a plus 500 difference. So in efficient markets, they should redistribute those odds somewhere throughout the field to keep their same theoretical hold that DraftKings wants. And that's why we see some of these numbers have gone up, like Caleb Batson for one was plus 2,500. He's now plus 2,800. There's a couple other ones. So that is a good sign that they are, not just dropping the numbers and not redistributing. So that is one plus. So that is, I've seen a few comments on Facebook. It looks like a lot more people are already interested in at this point with
awesome.
It only being 2 hours. And a lot of people just asking questions like, well, if I got, plus 1,200 and now it's plus 700. Like, do I still get that number? I've seen somebody comment that. And yes, that's the whole fun and the kind of the cat and mouse game of betting is you want to get the best number possible. And somebody like Ellis, it's already dropped like 40% in value. So kudos to everybody that scooped up the 12-1s. You're sitting on a good ticket right now.
Again, so what we're going to try to do in this segment, we don't have any head-to-head matchups. We've talked about it previously on full episodes of Chuck It or Chuck It we've done the last two seasons. Of this idea that you can make more of a dent overall, like in more like the head-to-head matchups. And that's where we found a lot of success.
Yeah.
Obviously it helps hitting the first national last year in doubles and singles.
That
kinda puts you ahead of the game a little bit, but, at least for this national, it doesn't look like we're going to get a ton of opportunities. Maybe we'll get some head-to-head matchups for doubles. If that happens, just make sure you're following on Patreon. I'll post up some of those notes and stuff over on Patreon of who I'm considering looking over there. But ironically, you brought up Caleb Batson before, because when I was looking over the list and trying to decide who I wanted to put money down on. And again, I'm going to spread it around for a few people. I just it's fun for me. Right. The first name that came up to me was Caleb Batson when he was 25-1. The fact that he's 28-1, a guy that didn't make a broadcast last year in singles, but literally took second place in every national last year in his bracket, right? So he was knocking on the door. He's pretty much on everybody's top 10 list. So to me, and I Cameron's favorite term, value, it's really hard to pass him up there at 28-1.
I do like that pick.
No, that's definitely a good number. And I think it's one of those, like you said, I'm big on buying high and selling low. And we look at some of his numbers in the past, and I don't think we're going to see anything like that moving forward. He's going to be down to the 15-1 range, I think, after this first
correct
national. I think we're ever going to see Justin Burton Jr. 70-1 like we did last year at the kickoff battle.
Correct.
Betting of a lifetime right there. And that definitely got me off to a good start. So thanks to him for that, but we're not seeing anything like that this year.
The other one in that range that I like is Fisher Hamilton, who ironically was one of those that got bumped up from 25-1 to 28-1. The guy won a national last year. We know if he gets hot, he can do it. So if I'm looking at quote unquote, the favorites to win this, I like those two guys if I'm putting money down.
And another thing to keep in, I guess, two things, because I'm sitting here staring at the live lines and the screen's actually lighting up, which is awesome to see in such a small market like Cornhole with lines moving in real time. But they have lines for the pro shootout the Pro Cornhole Series is how they have it worded, and the kickoff battle. So you have to make sure you know what you're betting, because you may think you have the singles winner, but you might have accidentally bet the shootout and not the kickoff battle. And that's got me a little confused here as we're talking, looking at numbers. You got to make sure you're scrolling down and reading the titles so you know what you are actually betting if you are going to bet on that.
And if we have some of our degenerate gambler friends that are coming over from Shuck It or Check It just to listen to this portion of the show, the pro shootout is different than singles because it's round limited. So historically speaking, certain players have fared pretty well in that. So just a little tidbit of information there. That's why you might see somebody, you know, a little bit elevated in a shootout versus the pro singles event.
You can say it's a brick
eye. Yeah. 40 to 50 players here, and there's, what, 250 something pros. So that's the other thing. I mean, this is not the whole field. Obviously, we have tons and tons of, and we have minors like Ryan Trader, who you can't even bet on. So another thing.
The Gores, keep in mind, right? I mean, Jacob Gore made a national final last year. Yeah, I mean, you can't bet on him. So I think it is important, though, like if you're new to the gambling aspect of it, like you're listening to the show, you're like, oh, hey, my state allows it now. If somebody like Jacob Gore were to win the national, how it works out in DraftKings or what they've done historically in the past is whoever takes second place that is not a minor. All right. So the next place guy that's not a minor, if you bet on him, they would consider that the winner of the bet. Correct, Cameron?
From what I've been in that situation, but from what we've been told, if somebody has in that, definitely reach out and DM one of us, and if you got a ticket to show that, because that would be something definitely to know moving forward. You're not going to get an answer trying to get in contact with customer support. There's no house rules tab for cornhole like there is at any other sport when it comes to something intricate like this. It's just literally kind of fly by night, just kind of how the ACL seems to operate as well with teams and putting everything up. It's just here it is, and good is good enough.
Yeah.
Good luck.
If you're looking to throw a few shekels down on some longer odds that they're actually posting, there are three names that kind of stuck out to me that I jotted down. The first one is a former national champion winner in singles, Matthew Creekiller. Been quiet as of late. You know, we know he just signed with a new bag company in AAR. He's going to be throwing relatively new bags, but kid's super talented. If he gets hot, we've seen what he can do before. At 50-1 is what he opened up at. Like I kind of like it there, what you're getting at that point.
Yeah, there's definitely, I'm not looking towards the top. I'm not taking a plus 450 Mark Richards. No, obviously, he's the favorite for a reason, but I don't think the talent is that stretched out anymore that some of these guys are 10x that.
Correct.
But the one I'm looking at is Logan Chamberlain. I mean, won doubles last year in the kickoff battle. He's won an open this year in singles. There's talks that he might be better than JBJ now. Don't know if that's true or not, but just the fact that it's in conversation, and he's plus 3,500, and Justin Burton Jr. is plus 1,000. So he's 3.5 times better. I don't think we're going to see 35-1 on him the rest of the year. And looking back on some of my spreadsheets from last year, the bag brawl towards the end of the year, he was down to 18-1, Logan Chamberlain. So now we are getting him at basically premium, double that right off the bat. One that stuck out to me.
He's been my huckleberry.
Oh, you have? I'll give you credit.
I think the kid's throwing really well, so I'd love to see it. But yeah, I like those odds for him.
There's two other names that I wrote down if you're looking for longer shots. One is a former national champion. Seems like he's in a really good place, and he's just one of those guys that shows up at a national, you never know what can happen. Steven Bernaset, 65-1. And the other one is just because historically speaking, he's typically a very consistent singles player. In the last two seasons, he's made a run, winning his bracket, but falling one game short of the broadcast, is Dylan Turpin, is 65-1. He's a name that, if you're a cornhole honk, you'll know the name. He's a really good player, and he typically starts off the seasons very, very well. So he's somebody on a long shot that you might want to consider.
Nope, that one's one I had down as well, just because it's just a disrespectful number.
It really is. I mean, if you think of, and again, nothing.
Is that
no
the
offense
most disrespectful number you guys saw?
That was when down? I saw Dylan Turpin at 65-1. I had already wrote his name down in a text, and I have now money's being put on him.
Yeah,
like it's just to me, it was just we don't expect him to win, but if they ran 65 of these tournaments,
Dylan's
probably going to win one of them. I
use
really
it.
That. Yeah, for sure. All right, let's move over to doubles. We have I don't know if they're listening to our top 10 lists or power rankings and stuff, but seem to follow along pretty closely in doubles, right? I think there's pretty widely regarded that Smith and Richards or Hisner and Birchfield are probably the two best teams going into the tournament. Then you have some other teams. There are a few other, I guess, quote unquote favorites that I liked. The one that really stood out to me right away was Graham and Modlin. I don't think we're going to see them again at 18-1 all season.
No, I was actually surprised when you told me 18-1. Is that disrespectful on Modlin's name?
I don't know. I just feel like they typically perform well when they're partners. The last time that they were partners, they were world champions. Jamie Graham like just doesn't lose when you put a game changer in his hand. It's I don't know.
Yeah, and honestly, this is like nationals are not open. So we say it all the time. Like this is what they're built for. They've been to so many of these. They know how to get it done. I just think like odds on. Yeah, I like them.
We both know that Jamie Graham's the kind of guy that listens to this kind of stuff, yeah. Right? He is. He's a guy that he likes to use some motivation, external motivation. And I think he's tired of not being widely regarded as the number one player right now. And I think he's going to do very well in singles. I don't love I'm not like putting the money down on that value there, but in doubles at 18-1, I like it. Cameron, what do you like this or?
Like we're streaming live on the radio right now because I just watched Jamie Graham and Modlin go from 18-1 to 15-1.
God damn it, people.
Oh, look at that.
Somebody listening to this.
That. I mean, Matt Guy is down to 12-1 for singles. I mean, it's fun to watch. It's good to see that there's action coming in.
It's great. Listen, if anything, that just, I guess it validates what we're doing right now.
It sure does, right? Yeah.
We've been talking about it for the last 2 years. This is what we've been waiting for. And the fact that the guys that we're talking about, we're seeing their numbers improve just means that, like, just follow along and listen to us, and you're gonna be successful at this. The other ones, I think Kano and Hamilton being 10-1 felt a little disrespectful. Just a little bit. Like, they're that team that, I mean, we all expect is going to probably win a national at some point this year, right?
Mm-hmm. I would expect it.
Right? I mean, it seems like they're that good. So, they're one of those teams that I don't know if we'll see them at 10-1 again this year.
Problem is I have, like, I feel like 12 teams that I expect to win a national this year.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, so.
The other one that I don't hate is Holland and Rawls at 12-1. Alex Rawls, I mean, his name might sound familiar, even if you're casual Cornell fans, because he makes like fucking every broadcast, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And historically speaking, he's been pretty damn good in doubles, too. So you're pairing him up with Derek Holland, who is about as consistent as they come.
It's an interesting pair.
I'm very intrigued to see how it goes. Yeah. Because every time I want to like forget about Alex Rawls, he goes and plays a Cornell tournament and wins.
Yeah.
So it's just really good.
I was on him a lot last year. I feel like anymore, it's if you just want to bet two people every single tournament.
Yeah.
Rawls, Alan Rawls too. He was one we didn't get to in singles.
That's true.
I mean, they came 28-1 all day long. I mean, last year he come in third in the kickoff battle. So he comes out the gate hot and he's won before.
Yes. Yes. He's just like a boring game style. So he's forgettable.
Yeah, Sean, you just forgot about
it. I did. Done. What's his name? Who? So if you're a cornhole OG, right? There's a familiar name returning back to the pro ranks. And it's an interesting deep shot just because like it seems like weird stuff always happens at one of these nationals, especially in doubles where a team kind of makes it there that you might not have been expecting. What about taking a shot at 50-1 with Davis and Sorrells?
I don't hate it. I haven't, Sorrells, I heard, was throwing very good.
That's a couple what months I heard, too.
But I haven't heard really anything since. And Eric Davis is one that I looking back on when he's just dominating the ACO, and he kind of had that first rollback. I'm like, this guy's never going to lose coming over to the ACL. And you just kind of didn't quite get over the hump. And he's just kind of another guy now, basically.
Yeah, I think that if you're looking in the doubles, like pro shootout side of it, those two right there, that's the team that you need to be looking at.
You need to look at
Eric Davis and Matthew Sorrells in that, and specifically in the pro shootout. And also, I think you got to consider Guy Nation as well.
Yeah, for sure.
You got to go guy and guy, I think, in the pro shootout.
I definitely agree with that. And this pro shootout, like you said, it's round limited. It limits
correct
everything. Both of those two are capable of doing it. You hit a great point right there.
Well, thanks, man.
Look at that.
There's one other team I had written down. it's following along with the theme of disrespect with Dylan Turpin. Turpin and Kingfisher, 55 to 1. They are a team that a lot of people might not be super familiar with. Cameron Kingfisher, he was Bella's partner last year. He kind of stepped away when all the stuff was going on. There's rumors about him like being not a great travel person. He's partnering up with Dylan Turpin. He's super talented, really good. They are a sneaky team. I don't think that they're going to like necessarily fly under the radar, but not a lot of people like are considering them in like a top 10. They could be a top 10 team. So I just feel like at 55 to 1, like they're at least worth mentioning in something like this.
Okay. And just with Turpin.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude can just flat out sling, and all these numbers are really high for a guy his caliber.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Is this every pro team that's there is in the shootout as well? Or do you know how the format exactly is for that?
I can't remember the schedule of everything, but yeah, there's a pro shootout that is also that same weekend. I just don't remember what day is what. Well, I haven't memorized that schedule yet.
I think it's Friday and Sunday are the pro shootout stuff. I think it's like Friday is singles, and then Sunday is doubles.
No, Saturday is doubles, I believe.
Is it Saturday? Mean,
like, the ACL press releases and beat writers and stuff aren't keeping the public up and informed of what's going on?
They posted that graphic. I just can't remember what the hell what it said. I mean, it should tell people something that like we decide to not go to national number two. We're going to Arizona.
I'm sorry. Thursday, pro shootout singles.
Okay.
4 p.m.
So that's after rounders.
Yeah. Then. And then Sunday, 10 a.m., shootout doubles.
Okay. All right. So they have rounders first.
Yeah. And then you want me to read down the schedule real quick?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Pro shootout singles and then Florida Freeze and Georgia Sliders at 8 p.m.
Okay.
And then Friday morning, pro women's doubles. 1 p.m. is national singles. Saturday is ACL pro teams. Arizona Burn versus the Ringers, and then national doubles. And then Sunday is shootout doubles, women's senior junior singles, and pro blind draw.
Okay.
So.
Thanks, man.
The Gambit. There you go. Look at that. Great graphic.
You did chime in on the segment.
Hey, how about that?
Before we start, Dane's like, I'll do the intro, and I probably just won't say anything.
I didn't know like how rapid fire, if you guys wanted to just nerd out for a minute, but thanks for... let me speak on it.
Well, hopefully, with the brackets coming out earlier for National 2, we'll have more info to go on.
Yes.
I mean, like, the head-to-head is where we've been very successful in the past. Hopefully, we'll hit on one of these and be off to a good start. But I've always posted before. I'll post the same thing on Patreon, whatever picks I make and where I put my money. Just you guys can all hold me accountable.
Yeah, and we need more, hopefully, head-to-head stuff. And there was a fairy tale land far, far ago where we thought we were going to be able to bet on futures for man of the year, MVP.
It's not that hard. It's not really hard.
Just throw the lines up and let it be.
You can do it all of them probably except for rookie of the year, right?
Yeah, because
those are many juniors.
But those are more than likely going to be probably under 18 potentially.
So crystal ball, Dane.
Yeah.
All right, Cameron, you're going to have to answer this too. Way too early prediction. Man of the year.
I'm going Jamie Graham.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Cameron, what about you? Do it.
I think Windsor's back on his track again. I don't mind him in doubles either. We didn't touch base on him, but you like Creek Killer. I think Windsor's, he's got his head on again. I think he's throwing straight. That new step, it looks fluent.
You going Windsor?
I'm going Windsor.
Sean, how about yourself?
I was going to say Jamie Graham. He's the first one.
We could both say it if you want.
It's boring, though.
It is.
It's fucking boring.
I just like what I've been hearing about the dude. I feel like, trying to see some magic. Seems like he's like an every other year guy.
Ellis is too obvious. That's too easy. Let's go Caleb Batson.
I like it. Yeah.
Take a shot. Caleb Batson. Balls out. Gets over the hump.
Oh, KB.
Wins a national in singles. He does well in doubles again. I like it.
For some reason, I thought you were going to go Kano.
Who do you think? All right. Who's the doubles team of the year?
Doubles of the year. I'm going to go Birchfield and Hissner.
You're riding that?
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna ride that train.
Okay. What about you, Cameron?
Gano and Hamilton.
Yeah, that's kind of the route that I was going, but again, I'll pick somebody different. Yeah, give me Graham Modlin. I'm believing in the hype.
There you go.
I don't know why. I feel like they got that one open under the belt just to like be like, all right, we can do it. All right. Yep. See you in April. Yeah. All right, cool. All right, we'll see you in April. We'll be good. I'm gonna go bet on college basketball until it's cornhole season again.
There we go.
Right? So
exactly.
Here's what it is. All right. Cameron, buddy, thank you very much for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Good to talk some numbers again. Hopefully we can get a little more options and hopefully sooner. And hopefully someday before I'm 50, we can have more futures, top fives, top tens, bracket winners.
I think you guys need to do like
a model off of the golf market.
But if you're listening to the show and you live in a state where cornhole betting is allowed, even if you're really not into gambling, just log on and throw like a dollar down. It just every dollar going towards it, more participation going into cornhole is going to go a long way to make them kind of want to do things like future and do more head to head matchups. And because it's just more fun. It's just like anytime you
even
start
if you have a dollar on it, it's still exactly. Worth like it makes you want to watch it.
Oh, hell yeah. Like, it almost makes it more fun.
Yeah, it always makes it more fun.
Always.
Unless those dollars become, you know, a mortgage.
Hell yeah. Well, Cameron, thanks for joining us. We're going to move on to our next segment. So we're going to jump ahead and we're going to enter into the Cornhole Fantasy Draft with Corn Doug and Mr. Anthony Kissel, or we'll call him Mini Rich.
All right.
Mini Rich.
Here we go.
All right. Woop, 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 woop. Later.
Yep.
That was transporting.
All right, folks, we are back. We are joined by Mr. Anthony Kissel and Mr. Corn Doug himself from Down and Back. What's going on, guys?
What up?
Not much.
How's the weather up in Canada right now?
Warm.
Is it are you guys getting
seasonally warm for us?
What is it like right now, temperature wise?
I'm just checking that out.
Not Celsius, by the way. All right, it's an American show.
43 Fahrenheit. We had high of 54 today.
Okay, that's solid.
That's warmer than us.
Yeah.
So, hey-o.
And I saw next week by Tuesday, it's supposed to hit 70 here, finally. So I'm hoping we're over the
dolphin
hump.
Dolphin weather. Let's go.
Amen. Let's I know, go. I just got new clubs. I'm itching to go out. If you're listening to this, it's Wednesday. Or it could be Thursday if you're a day late and you're a loser. And I'm just chomping at the bit at work, just ready to get out because we're going to golf simulator. And yeah. I need to hit my, I haven't hit my new irons yet at all. They're just like still wrapped in plastic, just ready to cut those bitches open and get going. So
yeah, you should start doing that. Don't leave it till we're there.
Kissel, you still golfing these days?
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm ready for the change. Cause this rain is not it.
Hell yeah, man. I hear
you. Yeah, I like some rain golf, man.
I don't mind it, but give me a little bit of sunshine. Like today was so cloudy and dark. Like it was just like, you're like, I understand like seasonal depression.
I just pretend I'm like golfing in Ireland or something. Oh, well. It's always dreary. So
that's true. Yeah. That's true.
I'm not really a big golfer. As one of my friends here says, it ruins a good walk. But then also any time I hit the ball really good is when I step on the rake.
The only I actually saw a post today. Someone put it really good. Like if you go outside, like for golfing and you're playing terrible, the total amount of time it takes you to swing your club for the entire time is 5 minutes.
Yeah. But besides that,
you're out there for like 4 hours with your friends and stuff. Like, so don't let shitty play dictate like the whole time. Like, oh, that's really, I need to remember.
Yeah. That. And honestly, Doug, do I look like I walk? Get out of here. Man. I'm taking a card everywhere. Come on.
Kissel, how long ago did you go full time with BG?
2 years ago in April.
Okay. And what's your role currently?
Basically just like sales, wholesale, run their ambassador program, customer service.
Okay. You liking it so far?
Oh yeah, dude. Love it.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Well, if all things work out well, we're going to be joined by Rich after this. We don't know yet. We're recording this on Monday. Rich had some family stuff going on, but if not, then life goes on.
If you need an interview, join Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
Head over and listen to Jeremiah Ellis
and maybe DK later this week.
Schmaves.
Never know Schmaves. If you get spoiled like that. All right. So every year for the last 4 years, we've done draft episodes before each national. All right. So we draft 6 singles. We draft 4 doubles teams. Neither one of you guys has ever done this before. But before we started recording, we asked a random trivia question. Dane came up with the trivia question. So what was
it? Yeah, it was just how far away is the furthest moon on Jupiter from Earth right now?
Yeah, so we all took a guess, and whoever was furthest away got fourth, and whoever's closest got first. So the order is Mr. Anthony Kissel, Dane, Doug, and then somehow I'm in fourth. But I will. Hang I on. Just would Can like.
We, I need to bring this around town for everybody real quick. Sean's already starting off as a loser. I like it. This is a new year, boys. All right, I need some help here. For the love of God, I need some help.
Yeah. All right. So, Anthony, you decided we want to start off with doubles, right?
Yeah.
All right. Doubles. So we're going to draft four doubles teams each.
It's time.
And then in singles, the order of the draft picks, it's going to reverse.
Reverse.
All right. So, like Anthony, kick us off. Who's the first? All right. So, national number one, first doubles team taken before anything's ever played. Who are you going with?
Gavin, Cano, and the Big Fish.
Really? Okay. All right. So, that's. Yeah. All right. And again, you're BG, right? Team BG. You're going to try to keep it in the family. So, they're their alpha team right now, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've watched them at the Opens, and by far, they've been the most consistent doubles team that I've seen.
Okay.
They've won, I think Gavin's won maybe three doubles and second place like three or four times as well. So he's like always on that cusp right there.
Yep.
But him and Fisher both, I mean, even in singles, have been playing well. So I think it's a good team.
It is. I mean, if you want to take second place, I completely agree.
Yeah.
You're good. Like, you're going to be golden. But no, I think, listen, they were both in our top 10 list.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're right there. Yeah. I mean, they could easily, they come home and win this first one. They're a top three team, if not the top dog right around. So yeah. Gavin reminds me a lot of Devin Harbaugh early in Devin's career, right? When he was always there and he was always considered like wildly talented. He just needs to just get over the hump a little bit. And this could be his year. I mean, he's been knocking on the door already. So, and he had a really crazy good rookie season. So, and I don't think it gets overshadowed a lot.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit.
So, all right. So
great Dane, first pick.
You got pick number two.
Number two for me, I'm just, I'm giving that to the boys that got it done last year. I want Eddie and KB.
Okay, that's I was going to say. I didn't want to spoil anyone's pick.
Yeah.
But it was interesting that Kissel went with Cano and Hamilton because, I mean, Eddie and KB, they won three nationals in a row. I mean, like, they are, like, reigning champions.
Yeah, they right know now. How to get it done. That's yeah, why.
It's interesting. Okay, I'm interested.
You are so, interested.
I am.
Dougie Fresh, who you got?
I got to go with probably, I feel one of the hottest teams right now would be Hisner and Birchfield.
Good pick.
That's
because even when they're in Niagara, they come up to play for the Open here in Niagara in Canada, our first Open up here. And they helped put a couple of waitresses through college with their tipping skills here.
Is that, you guys call them waitresses up there?
Bartenders, whatever you want.
Oh, I thought it was strippers.
it was a regular establishment that they were at for this one.
I don't know how they do it up in Canada, Doug. All right, I'm just grasping at straws at this point, Sean.
All right, so I think
I'm just happy that your calculation for our thing at the start was in kilometers.
That's got. Good.
That's except, the right except that was the incorrect one. So,
all right, so. Back-to-back pick, if I'm going off, I think I have to go off my power rankings, at least the first two rounds, right? Like, it would be dumb if I didn't.
Yeah.
So I think the first pick, to me, is pretty easy. I'm going Mark Richards and Tony Smith. I know they haven't played a lot together. I know even when they have, it's been kind of iffy in opens. They're still two of the top players in the game. And if you put them on cornhole boards across from each other, good things are bound to happen. Like, it's just going to happen.
Even when you're the last pick, you still get your number one overall in your power rankings. And for the record, they were my number one overall as well.
Yes.
But I'm just going with the team that's gotten it done because, like we said, it's a 1A, 1B in that first slot.
Listen, being fourth pick, I'm just
letting Eddie and KB.
I can't argue with any of your first three picks.
Yeah.
Like, I like them. Like, if I was number one, would I have gone Cano and Hamilton? Probably not, but like I can't argue with it. They belong in the top four, I think.
For sure. I mean,
maybe not my power rankings, because I'm going to take my second pick is my fourth ranked team in my power rankings. That's Justin Burton Jr. and Logan Chamberlain. Now, Justin Burton Jr. shows up, and he's a just a glimmer of what he was last year, Logan Chamberlain has been playing arguably right up there with Gavin in terms of consistency and doubles, especially, and he's developed a little bit of singles play. So I think Logan Chamberlain this year, it wouldn't surprise, I don't think any of us, if he actually was the alpha, was the 1A player.
Yeah.
Justin Bird Jr. just has to do, just return bags to Logan this year, maybe. And that could be a really good formula for success. So I'm happy with my start, giving me a 1-14 for power rankings. Thank you guys.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah.
Anytime.
So Corndog, it's back on to you, sir.
I'm going to steal one of Anthony's BG teams and go with the Ryans. Ryan Smith and Ryan Wheatonfield.
Good pick.
Stop poaching BG, please.
You're allowed to pick other teams.
When you guys sponsor like half the league, it's tough.
That's very true.
Damn.
Very, very true. Yeah, I'm going to go with a team that I am super pumped is back in action. I want Graham Modlin, yeah, baby.
I knew they weren't going to get back to me. I almost took them, but I'm like, I just came out with a power ranking. How do I not follow it? Yeah. Right?
No,
so that was the other team I was thinking about taking.
That's brutal.
Tis.
No, literally, I was actually going to pick Ryan and Ryan. They're that team that nobody ever picks, and they are just there always.
They might not have made it.
Well, you got to remember, last year there was other circumstances to be considered, right? So it was not a typical rookie season for Ryan Wheatonfield. But this year, looking at him, how he played in last open and how smooth everything looks, and we all know what we're going to get from Ryan Smith. He's just a pro. Like, he's a pro's pro. He takes care of himself. He takes it very seriously. He's about as consistent as they come. And you put somebody super talented with Ryan Wheatonfield, it's a recipe for success. I mean, it's no
for sure.
I don't think this year they're going to – they could fly under the radar a little bit, right, in terms of this. Mm-hmm. But, like, we know what we're talking about. So, like, they deserve to be drafted here. Yeah. I don't think any of us are questioning that.
Yeah.
So it was a good pick by Corndog. Oh.
That was a great pick. All right, I'll go Jacob Gore, Hunter Thorne.
Good pick.
They're kind of like, honestly, like not like a sleeper, because like obviously Jacob and Hunter's been getting it done in like the open series. And that's honestly what I'm basing all my picks on, is how they're playing so far in the opens. Just because last year really doesn't matter anymore. Obviously everyone had like a good year, a bad year and stuff like that. But I think they're going to be a team that'll win multiple brackets. That'll be on TV, I think, 2 out of at least 4 nationals.
I agree. And you have
next
one more
up.
Pick.
So, I don't get like crap from the other brother. Let's go Sammy Soto and Jackson Gore. A team that I don't think a lot
Sean's
of people
dreams
have,
just shattered. Like, I literally heard Sean's dreams shatter over here as soon as you
said that.
Took
was my next pick.
Joe, did he have them?
No, he was ready. He was gearing up.
So I got
wouldn't have got to him.
I got a lot of shit from leaving Soto and Gore off the list because all season we've been talking about them.
Yeah.
And I've been a big proponent. Like, I know Jeremiah Ellis has been so hot, but people gotta remember Sammy Soto is a motherfucker. And I know Ryan Trader's been getting all the, you know, all the hype so far, but I'm telling you, Soto's won all the big events in TCL. And we've seen in the past, those wins translate directly into ACL victories. We've seen it.
For sure.
Right? Justin Burton Jr. was the motherfucker in the TCL, came over, had a pretty decent rookie year, right? Mm-hmm. I think we could see the same from Sammy Soto. I left him off the top 10 just because, listen, Jackson, I just want to see consistency from him. We know how good he can be. If he's consistent, they're going to be a top 5 team. Like, they really could be. They're both really that good.
Yeah, 100%.
So, good pick. I like it.
Was a good one. I'm going to follow that bad boy up with,
you know, you got to take one of them, because if you don't take one of them, I'm taking the end.
Oh, I know. I'm just mulling it over for a second. I know. That's what I'm thinking. Like,
and is Corndog going to take the other one?
Very well could.
Good.
Yeah. I'm going to go, Rawls Holland.
God, motherfucker. I knew it.
Yeah, I think that's a nasty duo.
In the third
there.
Round, that's such a good pick.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to, you know, they're going to be probably top 3 in their bracket at worst, I would imagine. Like, they're just really good.
Are they going to be a team that just takes second in their bracket every single doubles throughout the year?
And it would not surprise me if they won their bracket at all.
Nor me. I'm going to, fingers crossed, that happens. Let's go, boys. Come on. All right, Doug. Who's in the chamber?
I'm gonna go Devin Harbaugh, Kyle Malone.
Good pick.
There you go.
God damn it. I didn't want to have to take them.
Sean, you got two on deck, buddy. Come on.
All right, I'm
fire them out there.
I don't know what's going on with them because I'm a little concerned that Creek Killer just announced that he's going with another bad company. Yep. I don't think it's a great look, but Ryan Windsor has been playing pretty well this year, and Killshots historically has done pretty well when they are banking on a doubles team.
Yeah,
even if it's just half of it. I'm going to go with Windsor Creek Killer here. I don't love the pick. I'm going to be honest with you. If they win, I'm going to look stupid for saying that, but I figure I'll hedge my bet by taking them here a little bit.
Well, I get where you're coming from though. It's the fear of the unknown. Like did the drama rattle him or anything? Like switching over bad companies?
Can he recover?
Last pick.
Yeah, I'm going to take a shot. I'm going to bank on the hype that these young dudes are actually going to show up at National One. And I know it could backfire because historically speaking, young dudes don't typically do great at their first national. I'm going to take a shot at taking Hicks and Trader. I think if they could very easily win it. Yeah. And that's why I'm taking them here. I figure with my fourth pick, you know what I mean? Out of this, they deserve it. I think at this point, Ryan Trader's shown he's really good. And I think that Alex Hicks, knowing that he's got another guy that he probably gets along well with, I would imagine. I think it could be a recipe for success, but historically speaking, doesn't always work out well early in the season. Yeah. So we'll see.
All right, Doug, last pick in doubles. Then we got a whole lot of singles.
Yeah, I'm trying to look. I want to lean to a guy that in a draft like this last time, my dark horse pick was the one that got me up there, but I think I got to go Jordan Power and Joe Niestat.
I like that. Yeah. I considered them there. I did.
Just because Jordan's the king of the Niagara Open here. Got to call so many of his championship matches. I think he's going to pull it off again.
The thing is, I don't think Jordan is the wild card factor there. I think Jordan's very consistent. You know what you're going to get from Jordan.
Yep.
He's going to throw high nines, low tens, and he's going to talk shit, and he's going to hit clutch shots. That's kind of been his MO. If Joe Niestat is Joe K, then they're going to be very good this year. But last year, I hate to do this, but like if you look at their stats numbers from doubles last year, if they would have played in any other bracket, they probably don't win those brackets. So it's going to be interesting.
Sometimes a little luck goes a long way.
It does.
As long as Jordan can keep Joe loose, I think they'll do well.
But not too loose. We saw that backfire on him last time. You know what I mean? So there is that fine line of figuring it out. But I do agree. Joe K is he's a mental guy. But if he's feeling confident, they're going to play so well together. But if one of them is off, do they have the personalities to kind of pick each other back up? I don't know.
I don't know either.
We'll see.
I'm next up.
I know. I'm interested.
My final pick. I was mulling three teams around. You took Trader Hicks. I thought they might have been able to fall to me, but good pick there. But it's a battle that we got to witness last weekend between Ellis and Guy. And I thought, do I go Guy Nation and bring like the oldies back together? But then I'm like, nay. Ellis won. And Hart closed out the season like a dog last year, so I'm going to go Ellis Hart here.
Yeah.
And I think let it ride. I think Ellis is throwing amazing right now. So
I agree.
I'll go Ellis Hart.
I like it. And closing out doubles, Mr. Kissel.
Yeah, I'm kind of like stuck between like three teams. I think I'm going to go Rawls and Kingsbury as like
good one.
Pick.
That's I was deserving.
Ethan Walker and Alec Ryan, but I think the boards are going to be too fast for them to play that role game. Like, I think that's going to be like the difference maker.
Well, and too, Ethan Walker's shown he's really consistent now. You know what I mean? Like, he is a very, very good player. I think really what we've seen so far out of Alec is just like a little bit of inconsistency. When he's hot, man, he's fun to watch, and he can obviously beat everybody.
But you're kind of right, Kissel. I feel like he's hot when the boards are tacky, and he can really be dirty with it.
I agree.
But all right.
Yeah.
That's right, it so for let's doubles.
Recap the teams, let's recap the teams real fast. Yeah, so in doubles, Mr. Kissel, you have Kano and Hamilton, Gore and Thorne, Gore and Soto, and Rawls and Kingsbury. So a lot of hedging on a little, some teenagers from North Carolina.
Those guys, yeah, do those guys owe you money or something?
Dane, your team is Eddie and KB, Jamie Graham and Frank Modlin, Alex Rawls and Derek Holland, and Jeremiah Ellis and Ryan Hart.
I like it.
That's a solid squad. Mm-hmm. Squad up.
That sounds like a Sean squad right there.
Team Canada. We got Hissner and Birchfield, Smith and Wiedenfeld, Harbaugh and Malone, Jordan Power and Joe Kay. I like it. And then my team, the winning team, is Smith and Richards, JBJ and Chamberlain, Windsor, Creek Killer, Trader Hicks. I'm going to have you spell Trader right, though. It's E-U-R, I believe.
Does it really matter?
Yeah, I mean,
I deleted Nistex. I couldn't spell that either, so I just, you know.
All right, so singles is kicking off. So the order is going to be inverse of last time. So it's going to be me, Doug, Dane, and then Kissel. So, again, I have to go off of power rankings. I would love to be pick four here in singles. Like, I wish now, looking back on it, I wish I would have just taken the fourth pick in singles.
Yeah. It
was well played by Kissel. I like having those back-to-back picks. I'm going to go off power rankings. I'm going to go consistency here. Maybe it's not. I don't want to lose it in the first round, so I'm going to go Mark Richards.
Okay.
Hard to argue. Know,
it's hard. Like, I love Mark Richards, and like, he's so good, and he's such a good dude, and I love when he wins, but it's, I don't know, it's hard to get excited about it. I think that's how good he is now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of boring. Like, I want
to, like the Chiefs. Yeah, nobody exactly. cares to see Mahomes win another championship.
Listen, I think Mark Richards is the best player in the country, and until someone is more consistent than him, I think he deserves that spot. So,
hard to argue.
Corn Dog, who's number two?
I got to go.
Brandon Brown.
Tony Smith.
What?
Smith.
Okay. So Tony Smith, not Brandon Brown?
Tony Smith.
Tony Smith. Fair enough. Okay.
All right.
The husband. What? We can have fun?
I know. We're I like him.
Yeah. We're having
it just
fun.
Took me off guard.
He's got a new partner, right? He's partnered up with Tornado, right?
Yeah, he's going to be with Tornado.
Oh, yep. That's going to be loud. But all right, it'll be fun. I like Tornado a lot. He's a good dude.
Hell yeah. All right, I'm going Jamie Graham.
I knew it. Yeah.
I thought about going that there, but
I almost took him at one. And it's a level of respect thing because I'm like, listen, he is the world champ. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, we should probably pay attention. And last time we saw him play, he was really fucking good. And Jamie Graham with Game Changers, historically speaking, has been really good.
Very true. And for the record, can we just change his name to Teddy Grahams?
Right. I don't think he'd be good with that. But
why, dude? They're delicious.
You know how he is. Like, I gotta get him back on soon.
I know. Just,
but I feel like he's been like, delicious. Not been our Jamie friend Graham, ever since I voted for Mark over him for MVP. Like, he's like really been holding.
He's gonna hold this against you again. Maybe don't hit him up.
Yeah. Well, maybe you should message him. Hey, I'll let him know. Like, hey, I believe this is the guy that passed over you, but my brother drafted you first. So, anyways, Jamie, we love you, and we'd like to have you back on the show sometime. So,
I think he needs to come on the Canadian show first. I've been trying to get him as well, but
it's too busy gambling, man. He's posting up those draft
hard
games.
Door to get open.
All right, we got to keep this official. So grab your Kissel. You got two picks.
This is tough. I'm gonna hand you basically a golden ticket in the second round.
I got a golden ticket.
You will. I'm gonna take Gavin and Caleb Batson. So Gavin one, Caleb two.
It's a good pick.
What were you looking to press there, Sean?
I don't know. I was just seeing what we had.
He's mulling things over. It makes me nervous.
You named them all, so like they're you know what they all say. I don't know what it quite means on some of them. So I'm like, I don't want to press it and like make no sense.
Well, again, Sean's going off power rankings, but a lot of things have changed since power rankings. Not really, but in my mind, I'm going Ellis.
Okay.
Just gonna ride the hot hand.
Yeah, he just handed it to you. He told you like it was.
Yeah, I know, but based on my power rankings, there was someone left.
I mean, looking at starting Graham Ellis is hard to beat. No, listen, Caleb Batson. Every time he showed up to Nationals, if he can just repeat what he did last year, only win in the bracket. I mean, the guy took second in singles, every single bracket. Single one. He's knocking on the door. He's that good.
Yep.
So we'll see.
We will.
All right, Corndog, you're up.
I got to go back to one of my doubles picks. I got to go Devin Harbaugh.
There it is.
Harbaugh. Kissel, you thought Harbaugh was the lob up right there?
Yeah, I thought so.
I had three people in front of Harbaugh on my list.
Oh, man, I don't know what, something about him. It's just like he's calm, he's collected. Like his like mental state last year changed tremendously. Like, I mean, I watched him play at a couple of these opens, and it's just like he stays pretty collected.
Some might call it fatherhood. Who knows?
Could be.
All right, so this is this is a pretty easy pick.
Two picks.
Pretty easy pick. All right. I think that
let me see if I can type it in first.
Good. I'll let you do it. Yes, correct.
Yep.
Yes. He's been about as consistent as they come since he's been a pro. Alex Rawls does not get nearly enough credit for being one of the top arguably three players in the country.
Yeah.
I'm still a little bit surprised he's there. But then looking at the other names, like there's just that much talent in the ACL now.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a good problem. So I'm very happy Alex Rawls fell there. This one is a little bit up in the air. I was considering taking Matt Guy here,
yeah,
but I'm not going to go that route. I know this kid's not going to be back if I don't take him now. I'm going to go with Ryan Trader. I'm believing in the hype a little bit. I'm going to take him. Maybe it's okay. I just know, again, I know he's not going to be there again.
That's spell right this time?
Yes, I believe so.
Maybe.
Yes.
I think it's O-R,
right?
Isn't it
E-U-R?
E-U-R. Yes.
So he's French.
Yeah, correct. He's got a little class. Trey, too. Yep. Don't try to church it up, son. All right, speaking of that, Corndog's up on you, sir. You got, like, the NASCAR headset, too, like, as a microphone. I fucking love it.
Well, I'm getting everything ready for the open heading to Calgary in like a week. So
it's a good look on you. It fits well with the Bass Pro Shop hat. Like, dude, like it's fucking sweet. Okay.
Well, you know,
please tell me your car is wrapped, like in the sponsor decal.
It's pretty close to it. I've almost got it there. There's a lot of decals on it, but yeah.
I like it.
But yeah, I'm going with a Ryan as well. Ryan Windsor. That's the third pick.
It's a good pick.
Windsor.
He's one of those guys that, like, we keep waiting for him to, like, regain, like, what he had. I mean, obviously, we know how talented he is. He took second in singles back-to-back year, like, a few years ago. He's still a very popular player, and it seems like he's been throwing better this year going into it.
Yeah, but again, for sure.
He was hot early in the open season.
Yeah.
And then, like, last month and a half or so, you haven't been hearing it, but I don't know if he's been playing more poker recently, because he does play poker professionally as well. So maybe that's just what it is.
Yeah, maybe he's just taking some time off before the Nationals.
Oh, you already filled it in.
I sure did.
He just typed this in. You couldn't type that in fast enough.
I mean, he was left there. So, give me Matt Guy. I'm just going to take it.
Like, I like my team, but then I'm looking at Dane's singles, and I'm like, wow, I wouldn't mind having that team either so far.
It's not too shabby.
Yeah. But I'm interested to see who Kissel has.
Sure, you could figure out which brand I'm going
know. With. I know who you're going to. I almost want to guess, but I don't want to give away my next pick. Go ahead.
Who you got, Kissel?
Go Fisher.
Okay.
Jacob Gore.
Okay.
Who do you think?
I like it. So obviously Hamilton, again, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Alex Rawls. Mm-hmm. In the fact that he's not getting quite enough love. Like, we forget that, like, he won one of the five national events last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he was one of them. Like, we can see what happens when he puts a whole weekend together. We just don't get to see that consistently enough. And I got to see him play at the Detroit National last year. And I don't think he was having, like, his A game that day. And it was just, it saw me a little, I'm like, okay, he's really talented. We know that. On his good day, he can win a national. But on his off day, is he quite up to par? So I kind of like where he's taken in the draft so far.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It's one of those, like, do I want to take the guy I know you're going to take?
I'm interested to see if you do.
Because I
take
do,
him then, because I want to see if you get it right.
Because I do believe in him, but then I also believe in another man.
Oh, yeah. You've been talking this guy
all
season.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to stick with my gut.
Yeah, I know who you're going to take.
I'm going to go Logan Chamberlain here. Yeah. I think he's just been – he's only gotten better since we've been watching. And, I like where his game's at.
Logan Chamberlain is a gamer.
I keep making this notion that like there's certain pros that make it hard for other pros to score. He's one of the best at it.
Yes.
Like he can literally make pros miss by the shit he does with bags. So
I mean, honestly, I don't think there's ever been a player closer in comparison play style wise than maybe Eric Davis.
Yeah, they can really just fuck your day up.
Yeah, they can hit all those crazy fucking... I would argue, though, that Chamberlain has more success in singles because he's more consistent at it.
Well, yeah, and I think he's willing to play the monotonous game.
Yeah.
If he's got to just slide bags in for a minute, he's willing to take that hit and just do it.
Yep.
Doug, next up, sir.
I think one guy who's... I believe he won a national last year, and then he's always... For me, he always seems to be there at the end, and that's Ryan Smith. For me, that's just
Ryan Smith, thoughts on the he's guy. One of not, my not he's a, one of my favorite dudes of all time, and we've just been waiting for him to break out in singles because we all know how good he can be. I mean, I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago. I thought for sure he was going to be the ACL poster child, and he'd be running shit. But you know, everyone just develops some certain shots, but he seems very comfortable where he's at right now.
He's still relevant, which is impressive.
Yeah. And I didn't take him just because he's been on my show 5 times.
So but, both of my guys are still here. I'm kind of surprised. So I'm going to go Justin Byrne Jr. first, just because he deserves that because he won it. Obviously, again, he hasn't maybe thrown as much or as consistent as he was last year, but he's there. And Dane already put it down. Sammy Soto.
That's the one I was honestly toying around with right there.
In these drafts early on in the season, typically the one of the recipes for success of winning these things is not taking rookies early.
Yeah.
I'm breaking my own rule doing this, but I'm hoping I balance it out a little bit with the Richards and Alex Rawls, who I expect to be at the worst finish like third in the bracket.
Exactly. Yeah. They should make a deep run.
So I'm just taking shots on all guys that I want to fucking, that I think could really win this.
Yeah. And honestly, like we've talked about,
and obviously Soto we all are. I get that. But like being at the ends, I think it makes it a little bit tougher because you have to take two guys that like you have some conviction for, or it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. And Soto's one of those names that we've just always kind of said once he gets up there,
because we've seen it in person.
Yeah, he can just run the gambit, and pretty much I don't think anyone could touch him.
Yeah, Sammy Soto is like, it's a confidence thing.
Yeah,
if he goes in and plays well his first game, I think the ACL is going to be put on notice. Yeah, I truly believe that.
You're going to be surprised.
If he comes in and he has that tough game where he's struggling a little bit, maybe the doubt starts to creep in a little bit.
Yeah,
just a little bit. Now he's played the best of the best already. Mm-hmm. But him going out there just absolutely butt fucking some people in rounders and just rolling through shit, I think that's when he's going to be very, very scary.
Yeah.
Like if you see him going into the bracket pool and he's a high seed, I'm telling you, he's going to put everybody on notice because he's a confidence dude. And once he starts feeling it a little bit,
let it roll.
It's going to be very interesting.
For sure.
So, Corn Dog, last pick of the for singles here, sir.
No.
I got two more.
Two.
Are we doing six?
Yeah.
Six.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
My bad. I saw that you have the line at one in your graph.
It's like Canadian counting where I get less. Is that what it is?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, you're one less single.
Dane has
player.
Our names in column one. I was looking at the numbers. I saw. So,
well, good. He already filled one. In your last pick.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Trey Burchfield.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I think we're seeing a resurgence. A happy trade.
I like the way that he did play when he was up here in Niagara, watching him play singles.
Yeah.
And I think playing with Adam Hisner has really kind of loosened him up a bit. And he looks like he's having fun out there. So.
Exactly. He looks happy, right? Like he looks like he's having fun playing again. You know what I mean? Like, and that's really important. Like those, sure. I mean, it's a weird time. Like, you know what I mean? Like when you're growing up as you're a professional and you're very popular in every event you ever go to, it's a lot of pressure to live up to, but he finally just looks like he's back to his old self. Like it's those of us that know him, like somewhat, like he's a goofy dude, like, you know what I mean, like he's a funny dude.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Sure. And well, you like seeing him not play loose.
When I've seen him at like the couple of nationals I've been to in the States and at Worlds, he kind of, you know, he's got there's that robot kind of thing to him, right? But then when he was up in Niagara here, you know, the pros that were up here from the States were kind of in the minority. There was a lot of people they didn't know. And just the way that he was able to kind of like have some fun with some of the other, the newer players from Canada here, I think really, I think helped him out when he played singles. And I believe he got down to like the final four in singles there. So I think he can pull through.
There's a reason he came up with the nickname of Robot. It's because when he was on fire, technically speaking wise, he was repeated every single time. Every throw looked the same.
Yep.
He lost that along the way. He started stumbling all over, losing his balance. This year, it looks, at least at what we've actually noticed it when we watched him, it looks like he's making more of a conscious effort on staying on balance and keeping his throw straightforward, not falling off as much.
Yeah, you know,
not
doing all that wild forward. Shit. Yeah, rather than falling to the
so
side.
So if it's something he's worked on, it's definitely noticeable, and I think it's going to translate to success. I mean, Trey Burchfield is easily one of the best players in the league. I mean, I don't think you would get any argument from anybody. So,
I mean, I might argue with you. You know, somebody that I was just very impressed with throwing, at the last open, Wienfeld, man.
Yeah.
I think I know Kissel just wanted him.
Oh, disgusted with your pick. I love
but it. Yeah, I'm going to take Wienfeld.
He is like the smoothest release. Like,
We were just talking about Trey being smooth, and I'm like, that's pretty much what Ryan reminded me of last week, so yeah, give me that action. Sorry for taking your pick, Kessel.
It happens.
And you're back to double us down into the last round.
Yeah, good thing that Team BG has a lot of assassins on our team. I'm gonna go steady Eddie Grinders.
I love that pick. Yeah, man. As your fifth pick, you're getting consistency. He is a staple on every fantasy league that I'm ever on, just because you know what you're going to get. Like he's every year he's a top 20 singles player every year. It's like death taxes and Eddie G being solid in singles. You know what I mean? Really? And then his partner is death taxes and taking second in singles.
Taking second and winning doubles.
Yes.
All right. Rounded it
last
off.
Last pick. Go Jack. Yeah, I'll go Jackson Gore.
Just had to give him the nod so he's not super upset with you. I get it.
You know, what's interesting is, like, I don't know how he's going to, like, if he makes it to, like, the final, like, 3-4 in a bracket, which I think he has the potential of doing, will he, like, let the nerves bother him? Or, like, if he makes it to a broadcast, will let that bother him? But really, I've been seeing him throw really good. He was out in West Virginia. Destroyed his brother Jacob, and it wasn't even close. It was like 21-4. So late he's been throwing well, so I think he has the potential to make a run.
I think he literally had some growing pains. I mean, the kid shot up. He got
tall. He's taller than me.
Yeah, so I mean, it's not easy. You got to learn those mechanics all over again. All right, Doug. Or actually, I forgot. I already typed mine in, and I was just going to skip over it, but I'm going to go with Hisner. Again, he's throwing good bags, and he's been there before. And I just kind of think he's due for a little resurgence across the entire scape of the ACL. All right, Doug.
Well, since I was going to do Hisner, and I can't do that one now.
I couldn't give you both Burchfield and Hisner.
I was trying to look. Where the national, it's just escaped my mind where it's going to be at.
Palm Beach?
Yeah, Florida. It's in Florida.
So since it is going to be in Florida, I'm going to go Alan Rawls.
Okay. I like it. He was definitely one I was mulling around, too.
There's one guy, he's more known for doubles, right? But every year, if you pay attention, in singles at National 1, he tends to show up and tends to do pretty well. And last year, he kind of reminded people that he's kind of a motherfucker in singles, too. I think he's throwing a new bag. Yep, I think he's going to be very happy. I think I got to go Kyle Malone here.
Kyle Mayday pick. Malone.
And again, I haven't really seen much out of him recently. I don't know what the hell's going on.
It was the same thing last year.
That's what
I'm
saying.
Didn't see anything
about
him, and all of a sudden he shows up and kills it.
I think it almost works better for him.
Yeah.
He just shows up and be like, oh, I just have to throw it perfectly. And he has one, again, you want to talk about smooth releases. I mean, that dude, like, he should be teaching a clinic on how to release a cornhole bag.
Yeah.
I mean, he just throws such a good bag.
It's like Gumby.
All right, so to recap the teams and singles, my team is Mark Richards, Alex Rawls, Ryan Trader, JBJ, Sammy Soto, and Kyle Malone. Corn Dog, you got Tony Smith, Devin Harbaugh, Ryan Windsor, Ryan Smith, Trey Burchfield, and Alan Rawls. I like that team. It's very solid. Dane, you got Jamie Graham, mid, Jeremiah Ellis, Matt Guy, Logan Chamberlain, Ryan Wiedenfeld, and Hisner. You got some age mixed in there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah.
Age before beauty at National 1.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, if you're going in terms of, like, cornhole experience, Dane's team far outweighs everybody. Mm-hmm. All right, so you're going to Team Veteran.
Let's go.
Team Old
Let's
Guys.
They've been around. It's consistency, around Sean. Around the block. We preach it.
Team right? Around the block. All right, Anthony Kissel. You went Gavin Cano, Caleb Batson. And I do want to note that he took Gavin over Caleb. That's very important. All right, so we should know that. Fisher Hamilton, Jake Gore, Eddie G, and Jackson
Gore. And he also took Jake Gore over Jackson Gore by several rounds.
Yes, yeah. 2 rounds before that. Yes, correct. Yeah. So, and I, correct. And I took, but I took his partner.
Yes. So. Yeah, all in all, I think Sean's team is really the worst. So,
other notable names that like we've left off that I think deserve at least being mentioned. One is, again, if he can show a little consistency, he started showing it last year. He was a candidate for breakout player year, Hunter Thorne. You know what I mean? He's like right on the cusp of becoming like that guy that, you know, yeah. could kind of break out. And if you made it to a finals, I don't think anyone that really follows the ACL pro division would be that surprised by it.
No, no, not at all.
Other notable names, a guy like Jacob Trzynski, who started the open season red fucking hot.
Yeah.
Right. And we're all like, oh shit, like Tony Smith dropped this dude. Like, I know he's throwing with Mark Richards, but Trzynski seemed like he'd had to figure it out. I don't know if he's not playing as much or if his name's just not popping up like in the finals. But he's a name that I think deserves to be mentioned. Another name that if you follow like at all like the path of getting into the ACL, Caden Allen is a really interesting choice. He typically shows up at big events and does really well. He's one of those rookies that is not getting any love in, for really early consideration for rookie of the year yeah. because he hasn't done as well in opens this year, but he's a name that keep an eye on. You know what I mean? Opening lines and stuff. He might be somebody I throw a few dollars down because I think you can get pretty good odds on.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'd be a little surprised with that. So, well, and DraftKings, get your fucking shit together and get your fucking stuff out.
And I think a sleeper doubles team that we didn't mention, if you want to go okay, Young Bucks, I think Sims and Wilson, man. I think
yes.
I know a lot of people maybe don't know enough about Wilson, but it's because he's got enough cornhole in Texas to keep him satisfied.
I mean, if you want to know Braden really Wilson, good. When Braden Wilson's at his best, he beats Ryan Trader.
Yes.
We saw it. You know yeah. what I mean? So like it's he's a very talented kid.
Yeah, and Sims is always consistent on doubles, so they might be a team that
could
be sneaky and win a bracket. Like, it would not surprise me one bit.
No. But
gentlemen, I digress.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us.
The other guy I looked at
Please.
Was Chris Kingsbury as well.
Yes.
Yes.
Florida yeah. guy too, right? I think he's in Florida.
Again, like he doesn't get any love because it's just boring. You know what I mean? Like same with Alan Rawls. Like they're both very good, but it's just kind of a boring style of play. But they do it really, really well. And if you can hit air mails, like awesome. And for someone like me that cannot consistently roll a bag or do anything but slide it in, like those guys should be like my heroes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but like to show like, hey, it can still be done.
I can still do it.
I can still do it. I can throw like a ninja star and make it work. But it's when you do a singles draft and you do 6 rounds, you realize like how many good players are still left.
Yes.
It is a good time for the ACL. Doug, I'm interested in getting your point on this. We talked a little bit about it earlier. What do you think about the size of the ACL right now? Like, what's your general feel? Like, we keep seeing just today again, Derek King making it known that he's not going to be playing this year. We have guys like Eric Anderson dropping out, Jimmy McGuffin, you know, a bunch of notable players this year that have dropped out of the league because of lack of sponsorship money. Do you think that the ACL overall pro like list do we need to shrink it down?
I think we probably could. I know I've been kind of keeping a half an eye on the American side, just because we've got our own pro stuff up here now. And we've got, you know, I think we've got 26, 28 pros. I think we're ready. We could expand up here as well. But I think they could pare it down a bit. I know I liked it the way that they did shrink the season this year, because I did talk with a bunch of players last year that didn't come back into being a pro because the grind of just, you know, they got to take, you know, their work schedule had to be condensed into like 3 days a week. So they could take time to go to a tournament and then come home and they're just, it's either playing cornhole or working. Right. So
I would just argue what's the detriment of what though?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know I mean, like I completely get it from their aspect. Like financially speaking, like it does, yep. You would want them to condense the season 100%. I'm just wondering with them condensing the season, how they have, are they missing out on what something that they've worked hard over the last two seasons to build, like something like teams, like it's the promotion of teams. And that's, it just feels like that season's been like rushed.
A little bit.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and I get like, oh, like in baseball and stuff, when the season first starts, everyone paying attention right away. No, not really. Like, call me when it's crunch time. There is some of that. I get that. But I just feel like it, you don't get the luxury in a sport when we're trying to grow it and potentially see an avenue of like maybe this getting bigger than what it already is. I just feel like we're not at a place yet that we can just like gloss over anything. Like every game should matter somewhat.
Yeah, no, I agree.
So
yeah, because like we're starting what, like 3 months after the normal start of the pro season, is it not? Didn't you start at like January?
Yeah, I think typically.
Well, I think last year was the first one that they started off like everything in April.
Yeah. But typically, yeah, yes.
In the past, it was like they would just stretch them out. And
correct.
Yeah, so.
And they would have like the super hole and all that kind of stuff do that. So I've come around on the super hole concept, like full circle on that. So
I mean, I'm hoping, isn't it all NFL this year?
I don't know.
I heard that as a rumor.
Well, if you go and watch one of my shows I did a couple weeks ago, Trey Ryder dropped a little hint about super hole this year.
Oh yeah, and where can they find your show, Corndog?
I'm on YouTube for the shows, and I've got to work on getting my audio content back out there just so people don't have to watch me, they can just listen.
But the audio content's on YouTube,
Down Back Cornhole Podcast on YouTube, and then every Saturday, we're gonna do it Friday night this week, but usually every Saturday night, trying to get you guys to come on. But I do a live kind of hangout 9 p.m. Eastern with the voice of Cornhole with Donnie McPhee, and we've had different people on. We had Maddie King just appear last week, and
What night was it that you were hitting me up to try to get me out? Was that St. Patrick's Day?
I think it was. Yes.
Yeah, I was
the night before St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, I was in no shape that night to come on the show. I think I told you that. I was in the chat. I was chat, but I'm like, and they're like, come on. I'm like, I'm in no shape to come on the show.
I was in
right
Texas.
Now. I'm squinting. Yes, like I'm not. Like I'm not. There's no way I'm coming on the show right now. I'm good.
He did those.
If it was non-video, it was just like audio, yeah. I might have considered it.
You did
it,
all but, those like, COVID Zoom calls back in the day. So, had your fair share.
We don't talk about like, good times. We're going to have a Patreon episode.
We talk about that every Saturday night.
Like, we're going to have a Patreon episode of just like those stories.
Oh, yeah.
That epic. Those are some.
There's some. Like, and we talk about it because if we then pick a couple people who are in the chat to come in and we do like a 3-hour post-show conversation that's even better than the show. And we talk about stuff that went on in those Zoom chats because, man, that was...
It was fun. It was
wild.
Insane. Yes.
That's going to be an episode. We'll have to get all the people that used to be on like those Zoom calls. And just big round table. Yep. That will be...
Like, you guys remember when Sean was wasted in his living room?
I'm not going to say names, but one guy even... almost set his house on fire the one night in the Zoom chat.
It happens. I mean, those are wild times, those COVID times.
Indeed.
We had no, I mean, like, shit, like, Jersey guy used to be a thing and used to have, like, a show. The guys from Connecticut used to slide bags on a little board, and that was a bag review. It's come a long way since then. That was the Wild West back then.
That it was. Uncharted territory.
Pour one out to our homies, the Dogcast. Yeah,
I mean, they might be getting back together.
But go check out Pulling the Cork. If you were ever a fan of that show and you're looking for something similar, Pulling the Cork, it's worth a listen. Brendan's doing a killer job out there. It's a very entertaining show. I listen to it every week.
Shameless plug.
What we need to do is we need to leave a voicemail. I've been wanting to talk to you about this. Oh, they have a call line. We need to come on.
All right, can we cut these guys free?
I guess.
I mean, we're just holding them on.
All right.
Gentlemen. Hold them on the hook here.
Thank you very much for joining. Hang on just for a minute, and then we'll be back.
Yeah.
Well, I got to say, I think I got this year because I got karma on my side.
But his wife's name is Karma, by the way. I think I missed that whole
Yeah, we might have not been recording for that, but hey.
It's okay. Still a zinger.
It's punny.